Hello, and welcome to Walking with the Tengu, a podcast where we explore classic texts for the modern martial artist. Maybe you've seen Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. If you haven't, it's a classic of martial arts movies. It might even be argued that it inspired an entire generation to go train Kung Fu, in the same way that movies like Karate Kid inspired others of my generation to take up martial arts. There's an iconic scene in Enter the Dragon where a brash bully of a brawler has been harassing passengers on a boat. He comes up to Bruce Lee's character and asks about his style. Lee's character responds that you might call it the art of fighting without fighting. The bully expresses his doubts, naturally, and asks to see some of it. Lee's character tells him later, but the bully insists. So, Lee asks, "Don't we need more room?" and suggests they go to the beach of a nearby island in a small dinghy attached to the boat they're sailing in. The bully agrees, at which point Lee lets the rope out, leaving the man stranded in the dinghy, leaving the lead rope in the hands of some of the passengers the bully had been harassing earlier. I originally wasn't sure where Bruce Lee came up with this story, but noted that it bears a striking resemblance to one recounted in a classical Japanese work known as the Koyo Gunkan. While discussing the elements of this episode with others, Richard Baitlick of the Martial History Project noted that he had written a blog article on this very topic. His article includes some excellent background, and I've included a link in the show notes if you'd like to dig into it more. So, the Koyo Gunkan is a kind of revisionist military history of the Takeda family, part propaganda and unreliable as a historical record. Nevertheless, the work became an integral part of the warrior caste upbringing in Tokugawa Japan. According to Alexander Bennett in his excellent book, Bushido Explained, he states, "Thus it became mandatory reading for the samurai of the Tokugawa shogunate. Koyo Gunkan influenced subsequent manuals addressing the peacetime warrior philosophy through the prominence of Obata's illustrious disciples such as Yamaga Soko and Daidoji Yuzan. Koyo Gunkan is often quoted in their works as communicating the essence of Bushido." End quote. Now, you might recall some Takeda stories that I talked about back when we were working through Daidoji Yuzan's work, the Budo Shoshinshu, but now you know the origin of some of those stories. So, let's retell a variation of the one from the Koyo Gunkan. A boat was once sailing across Lake Biwa, which, by the way, is the largest freshwater lake in Japan, northeast of Kyoto, and which comes up in a lot of classical Japanese stories. So, on this boat were a number of passengers, including a young samurai who was making a great show of his prowess in front of a number of ladies. Not terribly surprising, but he was also a bit drunk and kept escalating his antics with the encouragement of his audience. If you didn't know any better, based on his stories, you might think he was the greatest warrior that had ever lived. In the rear of the boat, there was another, older samurai, who was gazing off into the horizon. When the loud, tipsy samurai noticed this other one had his back to him and seemed to not be paying any attention to his stories, he got annoyed, came over to the older samurai, and said, "What? Do you not believe my stories? Maybe you think I'm making them up." The older samurai responded, "Huh? What? Oh, excuse me. I wasn't listening. Something about how good you are with a sword. I'm not really interested in these things anymore." "You still wear two swords? How can you be a samurai and not know how to use them?" "Sure, it's true. There are plenty these days who are cowards and only look like warriors." The older samurai didn't respond to this insult and only turned away, returning to his thoughts. This made the young, prideful samurai angry, who lashed out against a farmer who happened to brush against the sheath of the samurai sword. The young samurai raged at him. "You stupid moron! You have run into a samurai and not apologized. You must be punished." The poor peasant threw himself to the deck of the boat and apologized profusely, begging for forgiveness. "Too late," said the prideful samurai. "Throw yourself off the boat now, you stupid cow." The young samurai grabbed the peasant and moved to throw him off the boat. Suddenly, the older samurai spoke up. "Stop. Leave him alone. He apologized, and that should be enough." Happy to have finally gotten a response from the older samurai, the bully laughed meanly and said, "Will you look at that? He comes to defend this classless dog. So he has some backbone in there somewhere and wants to teach me a lesson. All right, but you should know I'm an expert of the Muteki Ryu, the school of invincibility." All right, let me just pause here for a moment and say that's probably the greatest name I've heard of to refer to McDojos out there, the ones that never test themselves. Muteki Ryu. Yeah, I'll have to remember that. So, let's continue. The older samurai, I have to imagine, if not directly, was at least internally sighing, responded, "Well, I'm just an average practitioner of Mute Katsuryu, the school of winning with no hands. You might call it the style of winning without a fight." The tipsy samurai gave a loud guffaw, saying, "Wait, are you saying you can beat me without even using your swords? Well, let's see it. Go on, show me right here, right now." The older samurai gave a slight smile and said, "Right here on this boat? We might hurt someone or fall into the water." "No, let's have a match on the island in the middle of the lake." The young samurai immediately ordered the sailors to land the boat at the island. As soon as they made shore, he jumped out and took up a fighting stance. The older samurai, though, stayed on the boat and drew his swords. He then handed them to one of the sailors, and without a moment's hesitation, grabbed the pole of one of the boatmen and pushed the boat away from the shore. Caught in a current of water, the boat quickly began to move away from the island, while the young samurai, now stranded, shouted, "What are you doing, you coward? Come back here and fight me. You can't leave me here." The older samurai shouted back, "I hope you appreciate the demonstration of my style of winning without fighting." According to the Koyo Gunkan, this warrior was the legendary Tsukuhara Bokuden, thought to be one of the greatest swordsmen of his time. The implication being he could have easily defeated the young, proud samurai with his swords, but chose not to. The lesson being, a true master, confident in his art, is led to compassion and avoids unnecessary violence whenever possible. I'm sure we can all see the parallels with this story and Bruce Lee's version. Now, whether the story actually happened or not, after all, this source can't really be considered historically reliable, yet both are excellent parables about not escalating a situation to violence. I'm not sure I would count it as de-escalation. It certainly diffused and put off the violence in the moment, but it certainly is a kind of deflection rather than meeting violence with violence. This is also a good example of what Rory Miller calls the monkey dance, a kind of violence primarily seen in young males that is motivated out of a sense of selfish pride and ego than out of any actual survival need. The confident, usually, but not always, older warrior, despite being able to soundly defeat the younger man, is able to deflect him in his ignorance and avoid the fight entirely. One of the easiest ways to avoid the monkey dance violence is to just swallow our pride. Don't respond in anger. Don't respond with an insult. Be okay with being called names and insults. Maybe call it being the bigger person. Just walk away. So, what about when you walk away or attempt to defuse the situation and it doesn't work? If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you'll know I rather enjoy the fictional world of Star Wars as a tool for modern myths. And since we're citing a kind of historical fiction already, my mind moves towards the moment in the first movie, A New Hope, that I like to call the Obi-Wan defense. In the now famous cantina scene, an individual tries to start a fight with the farm boy Luke, probably because he looks young, naive, and out of place. So, a quick, easy win for the ego. And Obi-Wan comes up and says, "This little one's not worth the effort. Now let me buy you a drink." Granted, this is a fictional scene, but it's a great example of how when someone does the monkey dance, you can attempt to give them what they want, which is really just a stroke of their pride, and try to defuse the situation by buying the jerk a drink. Wonderful when it works out, but as the scene plays out, we then see the aggressor try to fight anyway with predictable results when facing down a space wizard with a laser sword. Kind of like trying to face down the legendary Tsukuhara Bokuden in a duel, or Lee's character in Enter the Dragon. Granted, all of these are fictional, but the principle remains. As a mythic vehicle for the transmission of truth, the avoidance of unnecessary violence is a principle that should be an integral part of all martial arts training. As Marcus Aurelius puts it at one point, the best revenge is not to be like your enemy. Or, Epictetus, who then is invincible? The one who cannot be upset by anything outside their reasoned choice. Seneca, in his essay Of Anger, tells a story about another Stoic, Cato, who, while visiting the public baths one day, was shoved and struck. Once the fight was broken up, he simply refused to accept an apology from the offender, saying, "I don't even remember being hit." Or in another place, Seneca states that our anger always outlasts the injury. You would not kick a mule because he had kicked you, or bite a dog back. You just move on and say, "Oh, that's just what mules and dogs are like." It's clear that the Stoics would have preferred peace over violence. Now, my kids play jiu-jitsu games from the Gracie Bully Proof program, which includes a set of rules of engagement, the first two of which should apply to us all. As my 4-year-old can recite, rule number 1 is avoid the fight at all costs. Rule number 2 is if physically attacked, defend yourself. In the case of both Tsukuhara Bokuden and Bruce Lee's character, they followed both those rules. They avoided the fight and didn't need to defend themselves because they weren't physically attacked. Yet. Likewise, Obi-Wan Kenobi also followed both rules. He tried to defuse the situation, assuage the bully's ego, and buy them a drink. And when the bully suddenly pulled a gun, he used minimal force to end the fight. Of late, I've been spending a lot of time thinking about what makes a martial art different from a combat sport. Practices like boxing, wrestling, and fencing are all what I would consider combat sports. They are fighting skills that have reduced rule sets meant to highlight specific skills that can be applied in a combative situation, but are practiced and competed in a competitive sport setting. Judo, despite Jigoro Kano's focus on education and philosophy, has largely become simply a combat sport in the wake of its inclusion in the Olympics. That doesn't mean that everyone who practices judo practices it as a combat sport. Of course, there are those who still try to preserve its essence as a martial art. So what makes a martial art different from a combat sport? I would argue it's more nuanced than that. It's more about how it's practiced. Some combat sports can be practiced as a martial art, and many martial arts are practiced as nothing more than a combat sport. Among the arts I currently practice, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu seems to of late tend towards being practiced solely as a combat sport. I don't see it practiced by many people around me as a martial art. I suspect what makes it different is that a combat sport is really just focused on the application of a particular physical skill in a competitive environment, whereas a martial art, in my estimation, is also meant to elevate us to be greater than we already are. Thus, a combat sport can be a vehicle on which a martial art is practiced, though not all practitioners of a combat sport may use it as such. I, personally, want to use BJJ as a martial art. Yet, I'm also surrounded by people who practice it as nothing more than a combat sport. And that's okay. It's not necessary for us all to be practicing the art for the same reasons. The point of all this being that stories like Bruce Lee's, Tsukuhara Bokuden's, and yes, even Obi-Wan Kenobi's, are kernels of truth that use the application and mediation of violence as expressions of how each of us can be better than we already are. That, at its heart, is what the point of a martial art should be. It may be built on the foundation of a combat sport, which also is preferable in my opinion. After all, what's the point if we're not enhancing our ability to interact with violence? All the philosophy in the world doesn't matter much if we're dead. So, the violence, or, well, I suppose the confidence at facing the violence, is the foundation on which we build our progression, to be better than we already are. As the Havamal, a poem in the Codex Regius, a kind of Old Norse book of Proverbs, states, "The foolish man thinks he will live forever if he keeps away from fighting, but old age won't grant him a truce, even if the spears do." We can't very well always avoid violence, not unless you're willing to simply die and not actually change anything for the better. We must stand ready to use violence. As my kid's rule of engagement states, if physically attacked, defend yourself. Likewise, we don't want to be the source of violence either. As the book of Proverbs says in chapter 16, verse 29, a violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. Again, as my kids' rules of engagement state, avoid the fight at all costs. It's a strange tension to both be capable of violence and yet hold it in restraint. Yet that is, in my opinion, what separates us from the commonplace bully or the criminal. It's not that we just know how to do violence. It's that within a moral and ethical framework, we also know the why and the when to do violence. Perhaps this is the heart of the art of fighting without fighting. Oh, and before we close, I want to quote from Sun Tzu's The Art of War. "The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting." And that's all for today. Please help the podcast out by sharing and telling people about it. The best way you can help us is just by letting people know that it's out there and what it's got you thinking about. Thank you for listening, and talk to you again soon.